Welcome back to the News and Views Radio Network as we come to you live right here from Moorhead. That's right. We're at the Courtyard by Marriott where they're holding. And this is the 25th, okay? 25. That's 25 years, which means you're doing something right or you still wouldn't be around after 25 years. The Red River Watershed Management Board is meeting for their annual meeting. And the boss of that is here. Rob Sipp is with us. He is the executive director of the Red River Basin's Watershed Board, Management Board. How am I doing, Rob? Did I butcher that enough?
No, you're doing real good. Actually, the boss is my executive assistant over there.
Yes, she's the one that runs things?
Yeah.
I noticed that you've been looking over there a lot.
Because she's laughing the whole time.
Well, that's what I say about Abby, too, but I just don't want it to go to her head.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely true. Also is Jason Broughton with us. He's a farmer, a landowner. We're going to talk with him a little bit about the Roseau area, but he's also the treasurer of this organization. You know where the money is, fair to say?
I know where all it is.
Yep.
I'm supposed to know where it is.
Your name is on the check.
There you go.
There. That's how it works. Rob, 25 years.
Yeah.
Why is it still 25 years and you're doing strong?
Yeah, so actually the Red Board's been around almost 50, and then this organization, the Flood Work Group, this conference has been around 25 years. So going strong. It's our 25th joint annual conference, and a good way for all of us to come together and talk about flood control and water quality and all the projects we're working on.
Well, and that's, you know, I always on my show talk a lot about infrastructure. And we were talking before we went on air. And Jason, people, if they're taking you for granted, it's a good day.
Oh, yeah. We like when people don't call us and complain. But if they take us for granted and they see what we're done out there, if you feel good after doing this job.
Yeah. How often do you guys, in talking about all of this, how often do you find that this great infrastructure that you build that protects so many lives and homes and everything else that go with it, that after a couple of years construction's over, they drive by it and they don't really realize it's there?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. It's kind of the forgotten infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And especially, shouldn't say it, but I'm going to, when you go down to St. Paul, it is the forgotten infrastructure. You know, the Red Board and all of our partners, we've helped build like 60 flood control projects, flood impoundments, over 300 farms to ring dikes, a city protection, and it's part of that important infrastructure up here.
Well, and that was something I wanted to bring up with you, because you're going into a legislative year.
Right.
What does that mean for you? What's the goals here?
Yeah, so we're requesting $57 million for 7 projects, and we know it's kind of a uphill battle. Last year, there was a large bonding bill statewide, so I think that's still fresh in everybody's mind. Plus, we're not really looking at any flooding, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And this
but it's
year,
tougher to make your pitch.
It is tougher. Yeah. Yep. And the target for the legislature and the governor this year is a $830 million bonding bill, which is a little bit less than last year. So a little bit bigger hill to climb this year.
So now I served on the North Dakota side. So walk me through this on the Minnesota side, because doesn't the session of that year define what you can do? Can you get bonding bills like this through in either session?
Well, so last year was not the regular bonding year, but
right.
Because they had that large surplus, they did have a bonding bill.
They decided to invest.
Yep.
Okay.
So now this year is the regular bonding bill year.
Now I got, yeah.
Yep.
I knew that there was one time where it was like, hey, don't come knocking on the door for money. We're going to deal with some policy issues here, but I knew also Minnesota had a surplus, so
yes,
they got somebody out there working.
Yep.
Exactly. All right, time to do that again. How about the Roseau area?
Well, it's looking good up there. We started some projects. We've been working on this one project. It's a partnership with the DNR. 22,000 acre feet of storage, gated storage. And like Rob said, we got phase one done. We're almost done, and it's looking promising. We were just down in St. Paul 2 weeks ago. And you just got to keep asking for money.
Yeah.
And you hope, keep your fingers crossed. And
well, you have support from your local legislators. That never hurts.
We do, yes.
And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. They realize the infrastructure is important.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest thing. These people, you know, they all see, you know, we don't all live in towns. And they're starting to see that, hey, these farmers are, we got to help them out too, because they love to spend money.
The one thing I learned in Robin working with your group and getting a chance to come over and visit with you a lot is that something transpired in those years that we're talking about. You know, we're celebrating 25 years. I was on the old Epic. You know, I served on one of these boards years and years ago. Just show you how old I am. But you know, that what changed was the relationship between environmentalists and farmers. And I don't mean to make that sound like farmers aren't environmentalists. They care about the environment more than anybody I know. But my point is this. What you just described in Roseau, the 20,000 some, you know, acre feet, in the old days, some people would fight that and fight it and fight it. And now, because of the success, they're willing to sit down, start, and you know what, Jason, you can get some of these projects done.
You know, funny you should say that. You know, and we've teamed up with DNR. And yeah, I'll be the first to say, you know, you mentioned DNR in some parts of the state.
You don't want to do that in the bar at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that's a good way to get yourself a black eye.
Right.
And I can honestly say it is the great partnership. We have worked so good together. And we give a little bit. They give a little bit. And, like, we're building this project on DNR land because we have no choice up there. The DNR owns 41% of our watershed.
Uh-huh.
We're a lot of public land, and it looks good to the farmers also. So what you can say, see, the DNR gave up all this land to hold your water. What do you know? And they're starting to see it. A lot of the people are starting to change their theory on what they think about the DNR and even the watershed.
Yeah. You know? Well, none of that, Rob, but that's got to help when you go make your pitch to the legislators when they realize you're partnering with DNR.
Yeah, exactly. It goes a long way. So just saying that you have all those partnerships, not only with DNR, but other state agencies, too, that are part of the Flood Damage Reduction Work Group.
So for you on the northern end of what we're talking about there, to bring everybody together here to talk to the people, for example, Bois de Sault, okay, that's home for me. You know, I live south of the Red River. You know, we know where the Bois de Sault and the Otter Tail meet to come your sending your way. I mean, to get in the same room and talk to them has to affect some of what you know going home to your watershed.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, conferences like this is just great. You sit down, like you said, with the Bois de Sault. You sit with the Wild Rice watershed, you know, the Sand Hill, all these different watersheds, and you talk about, hey, what are you sending to me up north there?
Yeah.
And how are you controlling this water?
Right.
And, you know, you're seeing that everybody's on the same page. And it seems to be working out pretty good. I mean, it's interesting.
The other thing I noticed, Rob, through some of this, and we're going to take a little break. You can answer this on the backside, is the approach states take and the way states can learn. You know, you're crossing some bridges here. I mean, you're working well with both states, but you got North Dakota and Minnesota in the room, and even that, but in North Dakota for many years, the county's job was to get rid of the water and put it on the other one as quick as they could. And it's groups like this that changed that. And I think that needs to be talked about, too. So stick around. I'm not saying, Jason, that we always did that. I'm just saying I know some guys that had that philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
So stick around. More coming your way right here on the News and Views Radio Network. Rob Sipp is with us. He is the executive director. Jason Broughton is the treasurer. He's the one that's supposed to say, Rob, did we really spend that money, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's basically. Okay. He keeps finding all this stuff to spend money. So we let him. He's in charge of it.
We're here with the Red River Watershed Management Board. We're at their 25th conference. Rob, we were talking before the break about states and the different approach that states take to moving water. Give people an example of where an organization like this can break down some of those barriers.
Yeah, so we've got a great partnership with the Red River Joint Water Resource District on the North Dakota side. Real similar to us, they have taxing authority. And together we work real close, and we actually make up the Red River Retention Authority. And later on, you'll hear from Brian Feuder, executive director of that organization. But the Retention Authority helps us get coordinated on federal issues, federal lobby, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And looking at federal funding. So,
but there is infrastructure money out there from the federal government now.
Well, yes.
And I always worry that people locally, if you don't get it, somebody else is going to get it.
Yeah, exactly. And that federal money is tough to get, unfortunately. A lot of that infrastructure is focused on drinking water, wastewater, stormwater, which is good. Not complaining about that. But there's some other programs out there, that PL 566 program. It's something from the 1950s. And so we're looking at some congressional changes. And the way it was set up all those years ago, you know, like five, six decades ago, it's much smaller thresholds for projects. So our projects don't really fit the old statutes.
So, Jason, you're doing some work up there. I mean, you're building. Can you find contractors to do it?
It's tough. Like, I, you know, you used to get, you know, 10 guys bidding on a job. Now we're down to probably 3. And it's, you know, and the bids are coming in high. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, there's a lot of work out there. And like I said, it's tough to get them.
Yep. So inflation hasn't helped.
No, that's, you know, everybody sees it. Go to the grocery store, you go anywhere,
you're paying a little more.
You're paying more for everything. And when it comes to doing construction work, it really adds up.
Yeah.
When you put a 10% or 8% inflation rate on something like we had in the past.
So when you bid these things, are you getting sticker shock?
Oh, yeah.
You are, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Some of that I always blame on engineers because, you know, the engineer that's building the project should know what that price should be. But,
yeah,
you know.
Funny you should say that. We just bid a job out this winter. We had to go back 2 times.
To rebid
because the first bid, they came in, I think it was 30-some percent over what the engineer cost was.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Then you got to go relook at it. And here we thought we're going to get a bunch of guys. It came down to 2 bidders. And it was tough. Finally, we're going to start construction now this summer on the golf course in Roseville, clean up some algae bloom. But it's tough.
For 23 years I lived in the world you just described, where the night before a bid you just rip your hair out and hope, oh man, you wouldn't sleep. You toss, you turn, and the next day if those bids came in tough, it was like first thing I wanted to do was see the engineer. It'd be like, you're the reason I'm not sleeping.
Yeah, there's a reason why I'm losing my hair quick here, guy.
You know? Exactly. So, Rob, when you look at the overall, I mean, you got work to do in the legislature, but yet we're coming on a construction year too. A lot of work out there. I mean, we're talking about Roseau, I get it, but a lot up and down the valley or the basin, that's your whole, you know, it's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, so we have seven flood projects in the works right now, and construction's been started on quite a few of them last year, even the year before that. So a lot of work to do yet. It's been a good winter for doing some work, and we're looking forward to moving more dirt.
What do you say to the people who would say all you care about is moving water, you don't care about wildlife? What do you say to them?
Well, we actually are working on habitat and water quality, and we have, 27 water quality projects in process. Actually, about half of those are done now. So the red board over time has evolved, and we're doing water quality, habitat, and water storage and flood control. And so if we can do these projects multi-purpose, everybody wins.
You bet. And I think people need to understand that as well, that water management means great for the environment, great for the people that are out there trying to make a living off the land as well. So,
exactly.
Guys, thanks for what you do. I'm glad people take you for granted. I don't know any other way to put it than that. The more they take you for granted, the better you're doing at your job. So appreciate you coming on.
Thanks.
Thank you.